What's up, everybody? My name is Eric, and you're listening to the SideQuesting Podcast. I have one announcement before we get started today. Our podcast is now available on a ton of different major platforms all over the internet, such as Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, just to name a few. If you happen upon our humble podcast in your internet wanderings, it would mean a lot if you could leave us a like, rating, or review. It really helps us out, it helps other people find us, and it helps us connect more with our audience. If you'd like to keep up with everything going on here at the SideQuesting Podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at PodSideQuesting. You can also follow me on Twitter at Riptide104 and my co-host Tom at RedRival26. You can even email us at SideQuestingPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for all the support and enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome. SideQuesting Podcast, episode... I think we're calling this episode 8 because we're kind of keeping the Fill Our Arc podcast episode separately.
Yes, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, and gotta say, first of all, thanks for the positive response on the Fill Our Arc anime episode. That was our most listened to episode to date, which was really cool to see. Surprising, too. I thought the General Games one would have a wider appeal, but I'm very happy that people were as passionate about it as we were.
My little Weeblets, they're coming out.
They're peeking their heads out there. Anime podcast? What? Where?
Is it safe?
Yeah.
Is it
safe? Like the Arctic fox is out of the snow trying to see if it's keeping. So, yeah, we didn't do an episode last week because we were going to. And then I messaged Tom Sunday morning and said, yeah, we've got a foot and a half of snow out here that I have to move by hand. And I kind of screwed myself over on that because when we moved into this house, one of the things that my dad told me, he was like, oh, you should definitely buy a snowblower. And we hadn't had that much snow the past couple of years. And it was like, it's fine. I'll just shovel a little bit. And sure enough, I get dumped on by 18 inches of snow over here. So
what we're going to do is we're going to set up a GoFundMe for Eric, because if he's shoveling by hand and does not have an actual shovel, he needs all the help he can get.
Yes, I was literally moving it with my bare hands. Just one of my friends lives in one of the seedier parts of Indiana. I wouldn't kind of like a little more like rundown apartment building ish. And she said that she saw people outside her apartment building that were moving the snow with dustpans from brooms. And I was like, okay,
damn.
At least I didn't have to do that. But also, having moved from Illinois to Indiana, one interesting thing I discovered was in Illinois, one of the things we're famous for is putting like chairs and stuff in the streets to claim our street parking to like save it. And
yeah, okay.
It's the rule of dibs. It's pretty well respected and was ordained since the beginning of time when God created the universe, or the blood magic did, or whatever you subscribe to. I don't know. Yeah. And growing up in Illinois, you would assume that the universal law of dibs was just written into the fabric of the universe because everyone respected it. People in Indiana, since moving out here, do not give two fucks about dibs at all. People's chairs just get thrown into the snow. It's just like, I don't care. It's it's eat or be eaten out here, so it's a little more vicious. So anyways, I hope everyone's doing well. I hope you... Did you guys get any snow out there? I thought the snowstorm that hit us kind of moved out to you guys a little bit later.
We ended up getting... Oh, crap. Let's see. Like 3 days ago, it's when it started.
Oh.
Actually. And it kept snowing. It snowed all day from like 9 a.m. till around 11 at night. And then picked up sometime around like 4 a.m. and kept going until like 12.
It just doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop.
I know you guys pretty regularly get hammered up there, though, where you are. I remember a couple years ago, there's that crazy snowstorm where they showed like the streets of Boston and the snow was piled up like 8 feet high on the streets. Like you couldn't even see over it the way it was plowed. And they were literally having to come and put the snow in dump trucks and take it away because there's just nowhere else to put it. I think that was a few years ago that you guys had to deal with that one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And honestly, the snowbanks now are still pretty high. Like, still very much, like, at least let's see, the ones that we have at work from just plowing the parking lot, like the front parking lot, which is about, I want to say like 30 yards long,
shit.
I want to say, is at least 8 feet high, eight or 9 feet high.
That's 90 feet long when you do the 3 foot conversion. I know the math is pretty difficult on the yards to feet there. Wow, that's...
Listen, today is Super Bowl day, so I had to, like, convert it into something that somebody would understand.
Right, right, yes. Today is also the day of the bowl that is super, for any potential sports fans that wander in there. Happy Super Bowl day. I'm hosting a party later. I've got food coming. Very excited. It's going to be awesome. My question is for you. Has Little Red gotten a chance to take advantage of all the snow?
Only a little bit.
Only a little bit.
Because we got her new snow pants for Christmas. Come to find out that they are way too big.
Ah, yes. Buying for the future, though. So when she'll eventually grow
into them. She'll grow into them. But for right now, we have to get a new pair. That way she can actually go out and roll in the snow and not just throw chunks of snow at people.
Listen.
As she's known to do.
Throwing chunks of snow at people is a favorite pastime of many of us. So... Just be introduced to the human tradition. It's great. You always aim for the head. No, don't teach them that. That's too, they're too young to learn that. So, okay. Enough about snow inclement weather. Let's move on to I think we knew all along, Tom, is that finance, capitalism, economics, our entire system upon which our lives are built is pretty much a lie. So last week, we're gonna break down what happened last week and what's kind of going on this week with this whole GameStop. I know, what are the over under? You think how many times am I gonna say GameStop instead of GameStop today?
let's place the bets in the watchers' views and reply to us if you think there's gonna be a certain percentage.
It probably at least 50, and it's a good day to bet because with literally the Super Bowl coming up, you can literally bet on anything.
Yep.
Related to the Super Bowl. So
you can bet on commercials. You can bet on the actual game itself, on the players,
on the coin flips.
Who's going to announce it? You can actually bet on the coin flips. I just found that out this
year. I think one of my favorite prop bets is you can bet on the color of the Gatorade that's in the Gatorade coolers that'll get dumped on the winning coach at the end of the game if you don't have enough things to bet on already. So it could be anything. Could be red, could be blue, could be yellow. You don't know. It could be anything. I don't know if there's official Super Bowl color Gatorade.
I don't think there is.
I don't think so either. So I'll just run down the kind of the story of what happened and kind of where we are, and then we'll talk about it from there. Very interesting that of dying video game retailer dominated the financial institutions this week. But so what ended up happening was GameStop stock price went soaring last week as small investors from the subreddit r/WallStreetBets and across the internet banded together to take on the traditional status quo of big investors. The stock went from as low as $5. I think I saw it's like middle of last year, it was around $5. It peaked last week at over $400 per share, which is insane. And if you happen to get in on it when that $5, you made a shit ton of money. All this was kind of fueled by the rise of easy trading apps like Robinhood. A lot of these simple trading apps crashed last week because of how the frenzy was. Trading was actually paused on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange multiple times. And just because of the market panic that was setting in, and Robinhood and these other investment apps even restricted the amount of stock you could buy in GameStop and these other so-called meme stocks, just because of how volatile they were. People that were short selling, the funds that were short selling the stock took huge losses, estimated about $70 billion. Which is only half the amount of money that Jeff Bezos has, ironically. And small investors continue to target smaller stocks that were shorted, like AMC and Bed Bath & Beyond, BlackBerry, different stocks like that. And these giant hedge funds like Melvin Capital, who bet heavily on GameStop's failure, found themselves at the mercy of thousands of small investors using the internet to coordinate their buying attacks. Melvin finally closed their position on the shorted GameStop stock, and several billion-dollar funded loans had to come through to save them from complete collapse. So,
and everyone says that we can't control our money when we're buying video games.
Right. this got so ridiculous last week that the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve were monitoring the situation, with several members of Congress calling for hearings into what was going on. And multiple lawsuits have been filed against Robinhood now, since they restricted the amount of stock you could buy. They're accusing Robinhood of protecting the big investment companies. And it sounds like later in February, they are going to bring on the guy from Reddit who's kind of responsible for starting the whole thing, Keith Gill, aka Deep Fucking Value, aka Roaring Kitty, which is the most drastic jump from name to name I've ever heard online persona ever. He is going to testify before Congress alongside the CEO of Robinhood, Vladimir Tenev, some of the hedge fund managers, and a yet unnamed representative of GameStop, who is hopefully Reggie, because that would just be incredible. So
Reggie's the one that's leading the charge on everything. That's yes. why he stepped down from Nintendo. That's his reasoning.
So this... as of this week, the stock has dropped to around $50, $60. So as capitalism tends to do, the invisible hand normalizes the market. And we're not going to we're not going to talk about stocks and how the structure of the stock market is and how financing works, because that's really boring. We're going to talk about this just more of it happens to be GameStop and it happens to be shit posting people on the internet doing this. We were sending a lot of memes back and forth, Tom, last week, because the memes were just as good as the actual buying of the stock. They were incredible.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this, Tom? What were you thinking when all this was going on?
So here's the thing. So I find it a little bit problematic that people were kind of treated as like they shouldn't be doing this. When it's literally an open stock market, that's the whole point of it. As long as you have the know-how of how to do something or gain the know-how of how to do something, you have the right to use it. But people were kind of treated like, well, you aren't an actual like investor or a stock investor or anything. You don't belong on Wall Street kind of deal. And I feel that's what pushed people on even more, because people don't want to be treated like they're shit.
Almost it's kind of like a fuck you middle finger type of move. Yeah.
And I think that's what screwed over a lot of the bigger investors to begin with, just because of the fact they're like, well, these people shouldn't be here. And they're like, well, guess what? Fuck you. Yes, I am.
I'll be here if I want to.
You're not my pa. You can't make me leave. So I feel like if they would have just stayed quiet about it, people would have just dropped off immediately, because people weren't getting the meme reaction that they were expecting. But because they were like, oh, we got to have this capitalistic powerhouse going forward, they're like, oh, well, guess what? We can do that too. I know how much to spend on my Steam sales every year. but I, like I said, I feel like if they would have just let the people be and do just to get the meme out of the way, because if you just ignore a meme, it's going to disappear. And if they would have just left everybody alone, it would have just dropped off the face of the planet in a matter of like a week, I feel. And not to make people seem like they're short-visioned on that kind of stuff, but I mean, come on now. How many memes have we gone through in just the past month?
Yeah, if the internet's taught us anything, it's that memes have a very short life cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. The heart of this kind of thing is, I feel like the one thing we do have to understand, it's the one bit of financial jargon, is these giant companies lost money shorting the stock. So This is kind of a confusing concept. I just want to explain it for anyone that's listening, and I don't even fully understand it. I took some finance in when I was in business school. Didn't like it because numbers and big words are scary. So I just went to marketing so I could design things and sell things. That's a lot easier. So these giant funds, these giant investors were shorting the stock, which means they were borrowing the stock at the current market price. And they were selling it to people at that price, expecting to be able to buy that stock back when the time came, when the range of their borrowing time limit had come and they actually had to purchase the stock. Mm-hmm. So if you sell that to people at, let's say, $50, right? Yep. And then it comes time. And this is a very simple, rudimentary explanation. There's people that have done way better explanations on this on the internet. If you sell the stock at, like, say, $50, right, and it goes lower and it comes time for you to buy it back and you can buy it back for $20, well, guess what? You made net $30 on that. So if you are shorting a bunch of stock and what happened last week happens to you, you have to buy the stock back at a higher price than you sold it for and you lose a shit ton of money. And that's essentially what happened in kind of the easiest ways to think.
Essentially, you rented out a stock for $5 and it increased to $500 because of all the flooding. And now you have to buy it back at $500.
Right. And
a share.
This costs people, like I said, the numbers kind of vary. The most common number I've seen is $70 billion mm-hmm. that it costs, which is no small amount of money. Mm-hmm. It's a very significant amount of money. So
just a little bit.
What I kind of want to talk about is I wonder what the people at GameStop were thinking when they saw this going on. Like, what do you do if you're the employees at GameStop? You're like the CEO or the board members, because they didn't really say anything. They were just kind of sitting there watching this happen. Like, if you're Reggie on the board of GameStop, right, and you see this happening, like, your body is definitely not ready for this. OK,
no. No, definitely. Because, I mean, honestly, they didn't have to do anything. They knew who they raised. They're just like, hey, look, we got an army. But I feel like, first off, as soon as this starts happening, I can tell you now, the employees are going to jump on it. Because as much as you hate you are selling this system for, or this brand new Xbox back to GameStop, and it's like, oh, well, this is going to be $3 back in store credit. They treat the employees just as much like shit as they do the customer situation like that. So I have a feeling the employees are going to be jumping on that right quick. And basically, if their stocks drop again, then the employees are fine, and the bigger heads that are going to be the problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's a good point too, because I had a couple friends that worked at GameStop, and yeah, the lower employees, their business model is not buy and sell video games. That's mm-hmm. not where they make most of their money. Their money is made on these trade-ins, like you said.
Yeah,
where they're giving you, oh, $10 for this game, but selling it for $25. So, and they came out about GameStop's kind of toxic workplace culture a couple years ago, how they have this vicious thing called the cycle where, you know, they don't really want to sell you video games. They want to sell pre-orders. They want to sell you like their yearly subscription. Like, they want to push all this other stuff to make money.
Yep.
And the employees who run the brick and mortar stores are trained to push those things on people. And this was all before Reggie and Ryan Cohen, the founder of Chewy, joined the board and started implementing some changes this year. But yeah, it was just a very kind of vicious, it was very sales heavy. It was very numbers oriented. The managers were under a lot of pressure to hit goals, a certain number of pre-orders, certain number of things sold that weren't necessarily video games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, they kind of made money the same way the short people on the stock market did. If you think about it, they're buying a game at a cheaper price and selling it for a higher price. It's kind of in reverse, actually. So
yeah, it's actually reverse.
Think about it.
And that's why the employees would be so good at it, because they practice in it.
Right, exactly. It's like I think I sent you that one meme where the guy walked into a GameStop store and he's like, I have my $60 billion of GameStop stock. I'm ready to cash it in. And the employee is like, best I can do is like $25. And that's not the employee's fault. The corporate's telling them what price to set. I mean, yeah, I agree with all your earlier points. I feel like they kind of wanted to stick it to the investors who were like, oh, you can't do this. And as soon as things started turning against these giant investors, they got mad and they gummed up the system so that people couldn't buy and sell the stocks and trade them like you're supposed to be able to on the open market. And mm-hmm. the stock market's shut down. And so you're telling me that when the little guys do it, it's market manipulation and things need to be corrected and shut down so that this can't happen. But these big guys do the same thing every single day when they're shorting these stocks and betting on companies to fail. They're putting out memos about how this company's going to fail. They're going on the financial TV shows saying how this company is going to fail. So like you're doing the same thing to the stock in reverse, just driving the price down.
Yep. And that's the same. Yeah. That's the same thing I brought up earlier. Like once that started happening, they're like, oh, these people, they don't belong here, so it's time for them to go. So let's just mess everything up for a short time so they can't get what they can out of it. And then everything will be back to normal.
And it is trending back towards normal right now. Yeah. That's just how the market works, unfortunately. When there's mm-hmm. lower demand, the price is going to drop. But you're right. It's the general consensus was, well, why can these big billionaires do this and manipulate the market, but us small guys get together we have a couple hundred dollars between us all, why can't we do the same thing? Mm-hmm. You know, and really it was such a wild ride. It convinced me that all of our money is just numbers in a computer. Everything's made up. The points don't matter. And, you know, our entire economic society is built on essentially just a lie,
right?
A computer generated algorithm that says whether or not people have money. That's pretty much the conclusion I came to, Tom, is that everything is a lie. I feel like we're one step away from the Matrix.
I mean, pretty soon we're gonna see like Aperture Science building up, and then we're gonna be promised cake, and gonna be a lie.
You're right. That's wow. I think the most ridiculous part of this story to me is that this got so bad, and not that it mm-hmm. was bad, but it got the frenzy kind of reach a fever pitch last Wednesday and Thursday that the government had to get involved. That somebody, you know, some poor staffer on Biden's administration had to like walk into his office, right? The Oval Office, the seat of power in pretty much the entire world, and hand him a handout explaining what GameStop is, mm-hmm. Explaining all of the like terminology on the Wall Street Bets subreddit where they have like chicken tendies and diamond hands. And Biden had to like read all this and be like, okay, what's a GameStop? And the other part of this is the tweet I think I sent you too. The other most ridiculous part was that news organizations actually reported on the subreddit, yep. Wall Street Bets, and actually had to read and put people's usernames in the stories.
Yep. Yep. So, I did see that. Yep.
So the story, like you're writing a story and it's like, oh, we saw this post by like Big Dad Titties or something like that. And actually had to put that in the story. And just all these people who have these older generation people who are like the editors of their newsrooms, you know, the younger generations had to go to them with this story and had to explain to them, you know, like what this username is and what all this stuff is. It's just, that's the funniest thing to me about all this.
I think the most awkward thing of that would have been the hashtag that they were putting out, which is hashtag Daddy Musk for Elon, because, you know, Elon being Elon, he's going to back it up. Just because.
Yeah, 100%.
he's a walking meme. And anytime you turned around and it had to do with like the stock memes or anything like that, it would be Daddy Musk would be like one of the main things in it. And I'm like, who's going to have to look into this?
Right. It's literally one of the phrases is, yeah, Daddy Musk is going to take, well, the phrase is to the moon when the stock price shoots up. But since Musk is trying to go to the Mars, the phrase on Reddit is Daddy Musk is going to take us to Mars.
Yeah. And
if you're reporting on this, you're just going to be like, well, what the fuck am I reading right now? It's absolutely bonkers. I just,
yeah.
This to me is just, I mean, honestly, we should have seen this coming. First of all, with the rise of these easy trading apps and with how powerful internet communities have been as of late organizing, this
right.
should have seen this coming a mile away. But there is kind of a sense of satisfaction watching these rich people who have gamed the system for so long get their asses yep. completely handed to them.
Yep.
By, and this is not to like, less everybody on r/WallStreetBets, like some people are like smart investors on there. A lot of people jumped on board to do this just because it was all the rage to do.
Yep.
But seeing these rich establishment people get their asses handed to them by just crazy, weird, meme fueled internet people was the most exciting thing that's probably I've ever seen.
Their asses beat by Dadbod 420.
Yeah, exactly. Or like this guy's name is Deep or Roaring Kitty. Like, it's like, well, why did you lose $70 billion? It's like you walk into the boardroom, it's like, oh, it was Roaring Kitty, and everyone's just looking at you like, what?
Who? How?
This is one of the most unbelievable things. And I've seen a lot of crazy shit. We've both have in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
This is probably gotta be up there. I'm not kidding. I read too this week that there are supposedly as many as three separate like movie or documentary projects in the works related to this already. And Netflix is doing one.
Yeah. Of course it is.
So are we getting a Wolf of GameStop sequel starring Leonardo DiCaprio? Is that what's going to happen here?
Wolf of Meme Street.
Wolf of Meme Street? Yes. We got to get Netflix on the phone right now. Let's do it. We're ending the podcast. Let's hammer out a rough draft.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We're going to have to end this. So we will be back in about, I'd say about a year, because that'll be about as long as it takes to make that movie.
Oh, wow. So this is, I'm still kind of just sitting here in disbelief that all this kind of happened. And for one thing, I'm kind of happy that I've certainly learned more about investing in finance than I ever had before doing all this research. I'm hoping it kind of taught people more about the market. I'm happy that it's encouraged more people to get in. I hope people understand that these stories of, you know, these couple of guys on Wall Street bets making millions of dollars is not normally the norm.
Yeah.
Just because you throw a ton of money at the stock market doesn't mean you're going to make a ton of money.
The thing is, like, if you are working in the stock market, your usual outcome is going to be around to like 10 to 20% increase in funds. So if you're putting in $100 on, like, say you buy two shares right now of the GameStop, the GameStop stock, you buy two shares, which $50 a piece would be $100 in total. You will most likely, if it does go up, you're looking at maybe a 10% increase, if that. Because most of the time, every day, the stocks go up maybe a dollar, maybe a few cents here and there.
Yeah, this is true, because I've seen it on my own personal portfolio, my own funds. If you're investing in the stock market, you're really in it for a long haul, because your money increases over a period of time. It normally doesn't increase drastically unless you have large sums of money to invest, in which that case it could increase drastically, but most people just don't have large sums of money. So if you're listening to this and thinking about selling your house and investing everything in a meme stock, It might work out for you. You might be one of the lucky people that maybe it works out for you. For most other people that I hope they just do the research before they try and invest and lose all their life savings or anything, because, yeah, it's fun to be in on the joke, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, this could have real lasting world consequences on your finances, especially if you throw a ton of money at it when you don't know what you're doing.
Definitely.
And from what I could tell, and this is not to disparage the Wall Street Bets subreddit, until it blew up, it was kind of these people that took risky bets on purpose because part of the allure of the subreddit was to see people's either ridiculously giant gains or their ridiculously giant losses. And people call it loss porn.
Yep.
So if anybody listens to this in the future, I would just say, you know, if you want to educate yourself, there's a lot of great videos on YouTube. There's a lot of great people who've written a lot of great pieces. Just if you want to do this, make sure you do it the right way. Maybe you'll get rich quick. A couple people have. It's more of a long, you're in it for, if you're investing in the market, it's more often than not long term.
Just a heads up, as of right now, it is up to 30%. It's up 30%, I should say.
GameStop is?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So at this point is where you're going to see it actually go down. Because once it reaches that 30%, unless it's like a huge drastic change for it to go up anymore, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go down.
Yeah, especially because the normally stock price increases are, they come with good news about the company, right? So
yes.
It's normally they come around when companies release their earnings, how well they did, news about acquisitions, maybe new leadership steps in. That's the type of things that affect stock prices the most.
Yep.
GameStop, apart from Ryan Cohen from Chewy joining the board a couple months back, and Ryan Cohen's a really smart guy. I mean, I order stuff from Chewy for Milo all the time. It's great. It's like the Amazon for dogs, essentially. And I'm sure that's simplifying it a lot. GameStop didn't do anything really to warrant the increase in the stock price. They didn't really revolutionize the way they do business. They didn't come out with some kind of new thing. Their sales for Q3, I think, or Q4, whichever one it was, were a little bit stronger than they had been due to them starting to shift over to more online sales. But they didn't really do anything revolutionary to warrant the increase in stock price.
Right. Exactly.
So I wanted to ask you, we've kind of known for a while that GameStop's been heading in this direction. Do you think this changes anything with GameStop's outlook? And then what do you think, are there going to be real world consequences to this? And how do you think this is going to affect everything going forward?
So with GameStop, with their the way that their run on the stock market usually goes, I don't believe it's going to have a big change in theirs. I think you're going to have a lot more people actually interested in doing stock market trades and stuff like that. But I don't honestly believe that it was long enough of a term for GameStop to actually have that vital of a change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it was to have gone on for like months on end, yes. But in that short time period where they had that jump, I don't think it's actually going to do anything. Because I think with the increase of like digital purchases and games and all that kind of stuff, GameStops have been kind of going toward the blockbuster way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
Which sucks, because I'm a physical game person myself. But with everything being online now, and every console, every PC, every handheld like device, you can probably find the game you're looking for on that. And it can be in your hands in a matter of seconds. Or you can drive to a store and buy the physical copy. People are more likely going to be doing the downloads, specifically with what's going on now.
Yeah, I mean, I own most of my Switch games digitally. Whenever a new game comes out on Switch, I was just like, oh, I can just buy it off the eShop.
What sucks is all the games that I like are coming digitally because they're all old games.
Yeah, that is true as well. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's back in the early 2010s, I would say the heyday of GameStop was probably like 2009 to 2000, maybe 14, 15.
When they took over EB Games.
Yeah. Yeah, there was EB Games before that. And so what? And that was really the only way to get games back then. We didn't have all this cloud stuff where you could download the games digitally. We didn't have a cloud game where you could just stream the game from someone else's server. You had to go and get the game physically when it came out in order to do that.
And at that time, you had the Xbox and the PS3, which did have digital games, but you better expect not to have any other games on your system because there was not enough room.
Yeah, hard drive space was relatively small, 360 and PS3 eras compared to what it is now. Mm-hmm. And that all kind of started to change the last generation with Xbox One, PS4. That all kind of started to change. And GameStop didn't really do anything. I mean, you had to have seen this coming because you're in the business of games. If you didn't see this coming and you're in the business of games, then you shouldn't be in this business at all, because that's just a really poor business decision on your part.
Right.
GameStop didn't do anything to change their business model. I lied. They did do something. They packed their stores with a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Until recently, like, you'd walk into a GameStop and there's just a ton of shit everywhere. Collectibles and t-shirts and all this, like, just random stuff, right?
Because they were bought out by... Were they bought out or did they buy out... what's that website? ThinkGeek.
Yeah, ThinkGeek.
Yeah, I can't remember who bought who out, but after that, they're like, oh, we can now spread our demographic to collectors and like just stuff like that, basically.
And a lot of their locations weren't big enough to handle all that stuff. Like, so they just crammed, like, at least the GameStops near me, they literally just crammed a bunch of stuff in the stores, and it was really kind of unpleasant to go into a store, especially now when you have to like stand close to people, because it's just, you have to like walk around people, wait for people to get out of the way. Like, there's only one spot to get in line. When lines formed, it was hard to get around the store, but they just had so much stuff in there. Recently, we went into a GameStop looking for Pokemon cards, and
as you do.
Yeah. which is the hot thing now, of course. Yep. And it was a lot better. There was a lot less, like, just general merchandise there, but GameStop's business model, they were behind. And the same thing kind of happened to Best Buy in the middle of the 2010s too. They were in trouble because things were shifting online and Best Buy's online presence wasn't as strong. They were really focused on their stores. So Best Buy did a good job of reducing their footprint by closing a bunch of stores and moving more online and emphasizing their Geek Squad kind of service. They adapted and they changed, and GameStop is starting to now, but I think it's probably too little too late for them.
Yeah.
And a lot of the original GameStops, because they took over EB Games, like you said, were in malls.
Yep.
And I've been saying this for a while. I wrote some papers on it back in business school, is that malls are dangerous because you never own the property that your store exists on. And mall rent is ridiculously high because it was high because there's supposed to be a lot of traffic. And when traffic in malls is declining, you're stuck with all these locations that aren't making you money because the mall's rent is so high.
Yep. We have one mall here. Used to be the busiest place in the whole damn town. It is now nothing. it has like even the food cart and stuff like that has basically shut down.
Oh, once that goes, that's it, man.
Yeah, that's literally it. Like, I think we had a shoe store in there, and that was it. Because it used to be it was EB Games, FYE, there's arcades in there, there was shoe stores, like, all the clothing stores, all that kind of stuff. And then it just, in the span of 3 years, I want to say, it, like, stores just were dropping off left and right.
Right, because the allure of a mall with a food court and arcade is like you could just spend the whole day there because you could shop, you could entertain yourself, you could eat, you could literally do.
Yep.
And it's just like, no, like that changed. Like you said, within a span of like 3 years, and it was all of a sudden people didn't want to go to malls anymore.
Yep.
There was a big mall by us when I lived in Illinois. It was the Lincoln Mall in Matteson. Mm-hmm. And they just all like it was a really strong mall for a long time. And then, yeah, within like the span of 3 years, like stores were dropping out of there. The big name guys pulled out, like JCPenney and Carson's. Like once those are out, like that's it, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that mall actually ended up being completely abandoned. And it was fenced off. You weren't allowed to go in there. But one guy who was a photographer broke into the mall in quotation marks. And it was like a year or two after it had been abandoned. And he took a bunch of pictures inside the abandoned mall.
Yeah.
And I'll have to send you the link. It's actually really cool to see like the light shining through and all the shadows and how everything kind of started to be overgrown. And it's really eerie. It's like, wow, if you didn't know any better, it'd be like our capitalistic society just collapsed and everything was gone now. Very cool. So yeah, GameStop's stock price jumping doesn't mean that the company is saved.
No,
they still have a lot of issues they have to work through.
It just means that they are saved for one more term. That's about it. And yeah. Honestly, not even that, because the amount that they did earn from it isn't even enough.
Right. The people that benefited from this the most were the people that took a big chance early on.
Yes.
And happened to benefit from a pretty crazy series of events that had to happen in order for this to happen. So
yep, exactly. Because if that one guy who, say, from the very first day bought the $5, bought like, let's say, 5 shares at $5 for GameStop, spent $25, and it instantly jumps to the 500, you now have to pay him back $500 for each share.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so yeah, he made off really well.
Yeah.
And not to say that good things didn't come out of this, because I read they did some stories about the people that were sharing their stories on the subreddit. And some people said, oh, now I have the ability now to help my parents with their loans, or I have the ability to pay off my medical debt or my student debt and all this stuff. So this did help some people, and there was some good from it. And I'm definitely on the side of the little guys here. I think that more people getting involved in the markets like this, they call them the retail investors because they're not the big name guys, is really good. And now I think if you're the big guys, right, you're the big investors, you're going to have to think twice before taking a big risk like this, because obviously the people on the internet have figured out how to spot this. And anytime you take a big risk like this, they could do this and just exploit it now, unless they put regulations in place.
Exactly.
So. This will lead to Biden appointing to his cabinet the secretary of GameStop to keep an eye on it or something like that. I don't know. Something ridiculous. So if you want to invest, do some research, learn the terms. There's a lot of great resources out there.
I'm going to give you one little tidbit when it comes to investing. If you see your stock market start to crash, put your money into gold. Because gold will always go up when the stock market goes down.
This is true. Because
I learned that from business class.
Yes. Because for as great as money and stocks are, they are essentially, there's a lot of complicated things that give money value. But for all intents and purposes, money has value because people say it has value, right?
Yep.
Essentially. Money's not backed up by gold anymore. That died a long time ago. People will always want shiny things because they are shiny.
Yep.
So gold will always be valuable because people will always say, ooh, shiny, I want that. Why does it have value? Because it's shiny. So if you're worried about a future apocalypse where the entire country and system collapses, get some gold buried in your backyard. That'll be the safest spot. And you'll be the warlord in the Mad Max future because you'll have all the gold. I don't know. That'll be the equivalent of the guy who took this risk and made all this money, right? Then the story will be, local man has 500 gold bars in his backyard and is now the new warlord of Central America or something like that. That'll be the next thing that happens. So I think we've covered it pretty good.
Yeah.
Be smart with your money.
Don't just jump into it because everyone is doing it. Definitely be smart about it.
It's like doing drugs. Don't do it just because everyone else is doing it.
Yeah, be smart about it. Research drugs first.
Yeah, I mean, the regular ones are fine. Like, marijuana is fine. But, like, if you go to a party and everyone's shooting heroin, don't do it. Just, yeah, just, you know, yeah. Reconsider your options, please.
Yeah. Don't, and in your RPGs, don't shoot the heroine, okay? she's important.
No, you're right. Wow. That's great. The puns. Tom never stops with the puns. Never ever.
I don't.
So.
No, puns will never end.
All right. Let's move on from game stonks. The next topic we were going to talk about, a bit of a shift away, but if you've listened to this or any of our previous podcasts before, you know that Tom and I do love a good video game movie.
Yes.
And love is in quotation marks.
Yes.
Definitely. So... It came out around the same week as all this GameStop stuff was going on, probably kind of overshadow of it. Announcement of, we knew it was happening, but more details were revealed on it. Borderlands, the movie.
Yeah.
You sound very excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this movie.
Why are you so excited about this movie, Tom?
I just have one question.
Okay.
You have a big, this is based on the first movie, I'm guessing, just based on the facts that we were given on who's in the movie. So I'm just making a guess that it's based on the first game or like around the first game. You have a big military man, very stern, very like monotone with his actions kind of deal. In what way does that make you think Kevin Hart?
Literally zero.
Because we played Borderlands 2 together, I think, right?
A while back? Yeah, I played Borderlands 1 in college. I only played it through once, so I don't know much about it. You and I have played Borderlands 2 together, and I played Borderlands 2 a shit ton.
Mm-hmm. So, I have as well.
Yeah.
When you see Roland... you don't see Kevin Hart. It just doesn't go together.
No, it does not.
I was worried because of the Monster Hunter movie, and then I heard this news. I'm like, you know what? Monster Hunter might be a good movie to go watch.
Borderlands might not be. You have Kevin Hart, who's... and. I like Kevin Hart. He's done some pretty funny movies. I have nothing against him.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely not. I mean, he's done, yeah, like you said, he's done a ton of movies, and I have liked him in a lot of movies.
But if you're going to cast somebody as Roland, you need a person that fits that role, unless they're just going to make everybody silly and stupid, which would be, I think, terrible. Mm-hmm. You could even look to one of Hart's co-stars. I would rather have The Rock be Roland than Kevin Hart. Honestly, if we're having somebody be Roland, and I did a little bit of research, there's not much announced with this movie yet. Cate Blanchett is going to be Lilith, mm-hmm. which I can see that kind of.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. I just hope she's able to pull up, because Lilith is that weird character where she's like stern, but she's like a jokey character. So I don't know. Cate Blanchett, I hope she can pull it off.
I'm more okay with that casting than I am with Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. This movie is going to be directed by Eli Roth. And some of this, I did some research on him. He did Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
He did Death Wish. He did A House with a Clock in the Walls.
Yep.
And the sequel that's coming soon, A Clock with a House in the Walls. I don't know. I think I just made that up. I don't think that's actually true.
I'm pretty sure you just made that up.
why wouldn't you name your sequel to that movie? I think I remember seeing ads for that movie. I think Jack Black was in it.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. And I'm pretty sure it's based off of a book, I assume.
Yes.
It sounds like Gearbox exec Randy Pitchford has a producer role in this movie, which... this is kind of his brainchild because he's the head of Gearbox who made the game. Although I did read last week that Gearbox was recently purchased by Embracer Group, which was formerly THQ Nordic. Mm-hmm. So worth $1.3 billion in cash and stock, back to stocks. And the good thing about this story was that Gearbox is 30% owned by the employees. So that's really good. It means all those employees are going to be getting some cash money, which is amazing. Yep, so
definitely.
That's awesome.
So I did a quick search just to see like if they had released anything new for the Borderlands movie.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm seeing are fans screaming at them to put Tom Hardy as what's his name? Krieg.
Yes, that would
Krieg the Psycho.
I could get behind that. 100%.
Like, Tom Hardy's not going to be able to play a sane character in any movie ever again.
He doesn't. I mean, after Bane, it's pretty much, Bane and Venom. And he's that crazy guy. And what was that movie Leonardo DiCaprio did where he got eaten by the bear?
Oh, where he got eaten by the bear.
Revenant. It was Revenant.
Yeah.
He's a crazy guy in that one, too.
He was also in Inception, but.
Yes, he was. I could get behind that, though. I mean, I think that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had an experience with Randy Pitchford when I went to E3 in 16. We went to a panel with him. It was hosted by Chris Hardwick at the time, who had some stuff go on. He kind of disappeared because he had some allegations against him.
Yep.
It was hosted by Chris Hardwick, a woman from 343 Studios, whose name escapes me, who is one of the head producers of the Halo series. And Neil deGrasse Tyson was on this panel as well. And it was all about world building. It was super interesting. So, of course, you're going to have a man who understands the universe on it. And Randy Pitchford talked through his process of like creating Borderlands, and it was super interesting. So I'm just surprised with him being in on this movie that he would just be okay with Kevin Hart, unless he's just trying to get as big names as possible for his movie.
I mean, it could be. That's usually how video game movies go, though. They just get like big, well-known names for what the movie is.
Which, just because you have a big name in your movie doesn't mean it's a good thing for your movie. I mean, I don't think that's ever worked out.
No, I don't believe so. They want The Rock to play Brick.
I mean, I can see that too. Okay, so let's ask the important questions, all right? Who else is going to star the roles in this movie? My most important question is, who's going to be Claptrap?
People that everyone wants to see as Claptrap, from what I'm seeing here, is... Hold on, let me pull this up here.
I want to hear this, and then I want to tell you my idea, because I think it's a pretty crazy idea.
John Mulaney.
John Mulaney. Okay. That's not bad.
That's not really that bad of a choice.
I was thinking somebody, since Claptrap's crazy, a little more on the crazier side, I immediately thought Gilbert Gottfried for whatever reason.
I don't know if I could listen to a movie. Like, I can barely stand Claptrap to begin with. But Gilbert Godfrey voiced Claptrap might be a little too much.
I would honestly love that. I was thinking of like him. I was thinking of like Steve Buscemi, that side of the spectrum of Hollywood.
Can we get Ben Schwartz?
Oh, Ben Schwartz would be super cool. Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably the most important casting of the movie, though. You have to nail that one. Otherwise, you're going to be in big trouble. So, and then, let's fast forward, right? Borderlands 2 sequel. Movie does good, you get a sequel. Who's Handsome Jack?
Let's see.
Because Handsome Jack's one of the best characters in the entire series. He's a great villain.
Can we pull Ryan Reynolds in to do a Handsome Jack?
Holy shit. I think that would be amazing.
Because he already has, like, he played Deadpool, so he already has that, like, it makes it seem like he knows what he's talking about, but he's also insane kind of feel.
Yeah, he already has this kind of like bullshitty like kind of character, like how Handsome Jack is.
And he
carries it in all of his roles, even to his less extreme roles, like less extreme than Deadpool. Like, you could even hear it when he did Detective Pikachu.
Yes, like, exactly.
The way he delivers things is, yeah, cool. That's, I could see. I'm just imagining him now during early in the game Borderlands 2, you're trying to get out of the Arctic and you're climbing like that tower and talking about Butt Stallion, the unicorn.
Yep.
I could totally see Ryan Reynolds doing that
Okay, 100%. I sent you an image of what people want for fan casting for this Borderlands movie, and it includes Borderlands 2 characters.
Okay. Hold on. I'm opening the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
So let's...
If we don't get Michael Pena as Mordecai, I will be very upset.
I see that one. I think that would be a great Mordecai, honestly. That would be awesome.
And I've been thinking maybe Dave Bautista is either Brick, or Dave Bautista actually could play a pretty good role in, I think. Because he's got that, like, jarhead look. And he can be a stern character if he wants to.
These are actually all kind of good. Simon Pegg is Sir Hammerlock. That would be awesome.
100%. Alan Tudyk as TK? I need that. I need Alan Tudyk in this movie.
John Goodman as Marcus? That'd be hilarious. Yes, 100%. Dave Bautista as Brick would be good. I'd like that. Emma Stone as Lilith. I mean, this one's pretty good. It's just a shame that it's not going to go anywhere now.
Yeah, I know.
Anthony Mackie would be good rolling. Yeah, I agree with most of these probably. So, no, those are all really good.
I don't know who... Do I know who this is? Damon Clark?
Who's that for? Oh, for Handsome Jack?
Yeah, Damian Clark?
I'm sure we probably know him from somewhere, right?
Probably.
Millie Bobby Brown is Tiny Tina. Yeah, that could be good. She's fantastic on Stranger Things. She's got a little bit of psycho. Yeah.
Damian Clark is the guy who voices Handsome Jack. And he looks like Handsome Jack.
you just need to put a mask on him. He wouldn't even. Yeah,
exactly.
And directed by Taika Waititi. Yeah, that would actually be awesome. I think that would be really well done. It's a shame that probably won't happen.
No, it won't happen. People.
So after this announcement, I did some digging because I was curious to see how many other video game movies in the works.
Minecraft the movie.
Oh, did I must have missed that one. Is that actually happening?
Apparently.
Oh, no. oh, no.
Which makes me wonder if it's going to be a CG thing or if it's going to actually be like they're trying to make a live action Minecraft. I'm like, I'd rather not.
I mean, you're not going to find anybody with square heads to play anybody. So, I mean, that's impossible. Get out of your head right now. Who's going to play Steve? It's Minecraft Steve, right?
Gilbert Godfrey.
Yes! Let's do it. I would love to see that happen.
Let's see here.
I made a little bit of a list here, so I'm just going to run through. Yep. There's a lot of video game movies being made, so I was able to find IGN had a bunch of them, and I don't know how much I trust IGN just because reasons. Uncharted, which we know is confirmed. Yes, Tom Holland.
Which I cannot wait to see.
I love Tom Holland. I think it's going to be great. Tomb Raider 2, which I knew they were doing a Tomb Raider sequel to the one they did a few years ago.
Yep.
Mortal Kombat, which that's pretty far in development. We've seen screenshots of that, so that should be interesting. They're doing a Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which of course they are because the first one was super successful.
Yep.
There's supposedly a Gears of War movie in development, and if they do not cast Dave Bautista as Marcus Fenix, I will riot. Yeah,
exactly.
Minecraft,
June 24th, 2022.
Is there anything about it yet? Is there anything about who's playing anybody? Or just that it's announced?
In 2019, Peter Solette was announced to write and direct a film featuring a wholly different story from... I don't know how to pronounce that.
I don't know how you make a Minecraft movie.
The film is expected to be released in theaters on 4th of March, 2022. But due to COVID, the film was removed from the release schedule in October 2020 and pushed back.
Okay, movies have to have like a plot, a thing that drives them. Like, what is the plot of a like? Not it's to actually, knock Minecraft
it's
because
gonna be, it's gonna be Liam Neeson as Steve and his family got murdered by. Oh the my Dragon. God!
I would 100% be on board with that. 100% yes. That would be incredible. I don't know if you could pay him enough money to do that, though. You could, because he does crazy action movies just like at least 3 or 4 a year, it seems like.
Yeah, and he was also a lion in a movie. I mean, come on, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, and a Jedi, so.
And a Jedi. He was Jesus in two different forms.
Essentially. And he played Zeus in that, yep. Whatever, the Clash of the Titans remake, yep. Right? So yeah, dude's played some pretty big roles before. I understand that they incorporated story elements into Minecraft as it went on, and they have like the end game and the Ender Dragon, all this stuff, but
it's not really a story, it's just like a goal.
This is actually genius, because to this day, still, Minecraft is the most popular thing on YouTube being played. So, of course, this would make money, because all the kids are going to go want to see it. So, this is a no-brainer, even though I don't really like it, but whatever.
Redoing Resident Evil and making a movie about that.
Yeah, I did see that. IGN said they're doing a Mega Man movie.
Yep, I did see that.
That kind of scares me.
Yep.
They're doing a Just Cause movie, which makes sense, because Just Cause is literally just violence and explosions. So, like, of course.
With bad voice acting.
Yeah.
People making fake Spaniard accents.
Yeah.
I see a untitled Just Dance film, and I'm kind of concerned.
Isn't that just Step Up 4?
Right?
Oh, God. How do you... we've known for a while that there's going to be a Halo series for Showtime. That's supposedly back up. This one surprised me. There's a Fallout series for Amazon in the works, supposedly.
I did hear about that.
That could go one of two ways. That could... And I don't know. That one kind of scares me. And then, of course, there's a Last of Us series in the works for HBO. Yeah. It was written by the guy who wrote Chernobyl. I don't know if you watched Chernobyl. I didn't get a chance to. Heard it was really good. That guy is also writing the Borderlands movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that matters, but
Detective Pikachu sequel.
Definitely.
Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Oh, they have the Metal Gear Solid film that's going to be coming out. They already have started casting with that.
Please tell me Hideo Kojima is not going to be involved in it, because if he is, no one's going to know what the fuck is going on.
He is not.
Okay.
But I don't think you played the last Metal Gear Solid game, even without Kojima. It didn't make any damn sense.
What, which is the one Survive?
Yeah.
Where you just poked things with a stick the whole time, essentially? Yep. Yeah, that was trash. Fuck you, Konami.
They're talking about a Space Invaders film. I did hear about that.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They already made that. It's just called Independence Day. They already made an asteroid film. They already made several asteroid films. It starred Bruce Willis. It's called Armageddon. Okay.
Saints Row.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Tomb Raider 2. The Yakuza film, which I hope they do, because I would watch the shit out of that movie. Those games. I hope it's as trippy as those fucking games.
That's why I said, if they do a Yakuza movie, I hope they keep it as true to the game as possible, because...
Give me a random cutscene where he's singing karaoke, and it turns into, like, an actual concert for no reason.
I really wanted to play the last Yakuza game, because I saw it's like kind of like an RP. It's just like a ridiculous RPG. It looks fucking hilarious. They'd have to have crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
The only way to do a Yakuza movie, 100%.
Werewolves Within. What the hell is this?
Is that a video game movie?
It says it is, but I don't understand what it is. Let me look that up. Werewolves Within.
Like, I'm very excited that video game movies have kind of... I feel like... I'm torn on this, because I'm excited and terrified at the same time. I feel like movies and content now have never been made better, because I feel like when they first started doing this, they were obviously just doing it to cash in. But now the storytelling, not only movies and TV shows, but in games as well, is a lot better than it used to be.
What, you're saying that two plumber brothers going into the sewer to fight ancient dinosaurs is not a thing that should happen?
Listen, it should happen, but not when the two plumbers go into the sewer and it's like a completely like underground society and Goombas are like 15 foot tall, like reptilian people. When
Goombas and Koopas are the same exact creature, and they just have like different colored trench coats.
And they couldn't jump until they found the stupid jump boots, and that's the wrong way to do that. 100%. I don't know.
John Leguizamo is playing Luigi Mario, and Mario's apparently their last name.
Yeah. I don't think you do a Mario movie, because Mario is a character that is kind of, he doesn't really have personality, you know? Mm-hmm. He is the hero. He is what you need him to be. Mm-hmm. But he's like that way on purpose, so he has the widest appeal. So you can't really translate that character from a Mario game to movie.
It's like when they were trying to make the Legend of Zelda movie or show or that like rumored series that Netflix was going to do. At the time, there wasn't really a game where Link had any emotion. It wasn't until recently that Link's like, oh, I can show emotions now.
He still doesn't talk.
He doesn't talk, no. So what do you got to work on?
Oh, and just a heads up, Werewolves Within is a Ubisoft VR game, which is, what's it called? Night in Salem, is that what it is? Where you're basically accusing everybody of being the monster. So essentially, they're going to make a movie about trying to figure out who the monster is, like every other horror movie.
Essentially, yeah. Like, what if we do? What if we do Dead by Daylight? That's not. That's essentially just a horror movie. So just stop. Yeah. I remember they did a Assassin's Creed movie a couple years ago, and that wasn't that good. I heard
it was not. I mean, it was okay, but it definitely wasn't an Assassin's Creed movie. I can tell you that much.
I just think that it's really hit or miss. You really have to have the more story-driven games, Last of Us, Fallout, Tomb Raider, Uncharted, those you could get away with doing movies on.
Yeah.
A lot of these other ones kind of scare me.
Cast the people the way they should be cast.
Exactly.
Like, don't go in and be like, oh, hey, we need somebody to play, you know, this all-American army vet in a Street Fighter movie, aka Guile. Let's get the most French-German man we can.
Exactly.
Which is saying something, because I love that Street Fighter movie. I will watch it anytime it's on.
You literally have the embodiment of Marcus Fenix that exists on this planet, who is an actor today. Mm-hmm. So that would be like not casting him.
Yep.
Like, I think the consensus is Dave Bautista should play Marcus Fenix in a movie if you do a Gears of War movie.
If we ever talk about video game movies, he will repeat this until the movie comes out.
Honestly, some people believe that if you speak things out loud enough, they come into existence. So I'm going to keep speaking it. To do a movie on a game like Minecraft does not make sense, because there is no... The characters don't have any emotion.
It's what do you just mean? There's that Minecraft TV series that has Patton Oswalt playing the main character.
Is there really?
Yeah, there is. I
didn't hear about that at all.
It's a choose your adventure game movie thing.
Well, I mean, that's okay, but to do I just don't think. I don't know. Maybe I'm old school in the way I think about it. I know it'll obviously make money, but it's just this is not a good idea.
Okay, so here is the question. We know where you stand on video game movies now, like what your aspects and what you're looking for in these games. How do you feel about the most controversial video game movie in existence? The first Mortal Kombat movie.
Okay.
Because you either hate it or you love it. There's no in between on that movie.
I think I love it because it's so bad.
Even the Scorpion talking hook hand.
Listen, I think there are certain movies that transcend the standard definition of good and bad.
Right.
Right.
We're not talking about Max Payne, because that movie was absolute shit.
For me, the first Mortal Kombat movie is very much in the vein of The Room.
Acceptable chaos.
Yes. And I love The Room for the same reasons that I love Mortal Kombat, because it's just, it's so bad that it's legitimately entertaining.
Gotcha.
And so that's kind of how I feel about it. Obviously, the Mortal Kombat movie was made much better than The Room, and but Tommy Wiseau is just a legend, so that doesn't matter. So I think if you're setting the bar for this Mortal Kombat movie, and the first Mortal Kombat movie is the bar, you should think that they should knock this out of the park, hopefully.
Yes. Yes, because they realized after the second movie, which I cannot remember the name of it off the top of my head, that maybe they shouldn't cut their budget. Because after the first one, at the end of the first one, it's like this big CG reveal of like Shao Kahn in the sky and always coming down to do all this and destroy the Earth realm and invade. And if you played Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, you know the story. It shows that, and at the end they make their fighting poses because, you know, that's how you end an action movie like that, with a cliffhanger and a fighting pose. It goes to the second movie, which takes up the spot exactly where the first one ended. And they're showcasing the characters. First off, only one character is the same.
Say, hey, these aren't all the same people. What happened here?
Liu Kang is the only person who has remained the same person. You see, everybody has changed. You look at Shao Kahn, who was in the sky at the end of the last one with his cool CG effect. He is now looks like he's a piece of cardboard.
It's like the flying from the first Superman movies.
Yep. And then immediately they kill Johnny Cage. In a matter of seconds. You know, your most important side character that was in the first movie. Yeah, let's kill him in the second one within 2 seconds of the movie shooting.
They were Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones was even a thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's kill off the most important character in the first season. Unheard of. So I think to wrap this up, Hollywood, if you're listening, if somebody in these big Hollywood studios is listening, don't fuck it up.
Yep.
Because we'll make fun of you forever if you do. Movies may be forgotten about, but never on the internet. And
nope.
Your movie will be memed until the end of time. Or the collapse of civilization, whichever comes first.
Right, exactly.
So to wrap it up, sounds like we don't have much hope for the Borderlands movie after this. But we'll continue to keep an eye on who gets cast, and we'll see if...
Let's put out a vote. Which do you think is going to be worse? The Monster Hunter movie or the Borderlands movie?
I've heard not such good things about the Monster Hunter movie. So I'm probably going to go that one. Just because I don't know how you take a movie about a game that's essentially just fighting dinosaurs with giant swords. I mean, the story, I love Monster Hunter World. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It doesn't need a story. You don't need to give me a reason to go and fight giant dinosaurs. That's what I want to do. Just tell me that they're scary, that they're out there. I'll go find them and kill them.
And can we talk about the fact that Monster Hunter is the first, like the movie Monster Hunter, is the first real life isekai anime?
Is it really?
It's about another, it's a group of people from Earth who get transported to another world to fight off dinosaur monsters.
Holy shit. You are right. Oh my god, that makes it even better. Oh, that's fantastic. Listen, you always have to, it's they essentially took the plot of Mario, the movie, Super yeah. Mario Bros. Movie, they transported, yep. They fought dinosaurs. That's exactly, oh my god. Oh, that would be the end reveal, right? Is it that that John Leguizamo and who's the guy that plays Mario? I forget. I don't remember, but he almost died making that movie, I remember.
Yeah, he was, because he was drunk during the entire movie.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the Monster Hunter movie, they, like, come out of the ruins and, like, oh, we've been waiting for you guys forever. And it's, like, all connected universe. And you're like, what the fuck?
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins, yeah.
But he's no longer around, so we can't use him.
Oh. Listen, Carrie Fisher was no longer around, and they put her in a movie.
True.
So, the deepfake technology is real. We can do scary stuff. You can bring people back from the dead.
I feel like Bob Hoskins has gotten so many shit roles. Like, he has not gotten a chance with his acting career.
But we love him for it, so. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right, everybody. I appreciate you listening to our crazy rants. We went from the financial industry to the movie-making industry, which is an interesting jump today. But it's always interesting on the SideQuesting podcast, so. We appreciate you tuning in. This month, we're definitely going to continue filler arc. We're going to be doing that and maybe try and have on some guests or two for some different opinion, because I'm sure you're just tired of me saying everything wrong all the time, so.
And me trying to remember words.
Listen, remembering words is not as easy as you think. It's just not. Whenever I don't remember words, I just stall with filler words most of the time, so it's okay. But thank you again. Make sure to leave a rating, a like, a subscribe, follow us, all that good jazz. I have a little intro snippet I put in before the theme song now telling us where everybody is and where you can find us all. So I don't feel the need to do that now. But yeah, have a wonderful weekend and go team, whichever team you're rooting for.
Go sports ball.
Go sports ball. Thank you as always for joining me, Tom. And
of course.
We will catch you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.